Okay, everyone, so welcome to the second Evil Geniuses raid call question and answer. We have Evil Geniuses Suppy, who's enjoying a burger. I blame the entirety of the last, 17 minutes worth of tech issues on these burgers. We also have Jeff Robinson. This is EG in control. He's our team captain. And then we have the man, the myth, the legend, Greg Idrip Fields. So if you guys would do me a tremendous favor and type your questions again, I would appreciate it very greatly. Again, I'm very famous a little late. We assure you, you'll get your 30 minutes as promised. And your free car. Okay, actually, this is a really interesting question. This is from Idra's number one fan, and it was directed at Greg specifically, but I think this would be appropriate for everyone. And he wanted to know what your parents' opinions were when you decided that you wanted to dedicate yourself to being a pro gamer. Were they upset? Were they frustrated? Were they supportive? We'll start with Greg, then we'll go to Jeff, and then we'll go to Suppy.
My dad thought it was a terrible, awful, horrible idea. He still kind of does. He's more okay with it now that I'm supporting myself. It's like we turned out reasonably successful, but he still doesn't like it just because it's kind of on standard and not really what you're supposed to do in his opinion. My mom, at first, she just thought I was kind of kidding, or she didn't comprehend it. But then I kind of stuck with the idea, and she got on board. She's just super supportive. I think she would have accepted pretty much anything if I was dedicated enough to it. So she's always been my first supporter. And my dad, he's still pretty iffy about it.
For me, I never took the turn and was like, now I'm a pro gamer. It just kind of gradually happened, so... And it happened mostly when I was in college anyways, kind of making choices for myself. And neither of my parents, reached out to say, if you go forward with this, we will never love you again or anything like that. But my mom supports every and all decisions I make pretty much. She's one of the nicest ladies on the whole planet. And my dad, throughout the whole course of it, was not unsupportive or super supportive of it. He was just more kind of like, well, you know, what are you doing to make your future okay? Graduate from college and... Does it earn you enough money? Are you happy? This just, you know, he was interested in it and supportive in the sense that as far as once it became pretty sustainable for me to be a pro gamer, it was more of like a novelty thing for them. They were like interested in it and entertained by it more than anything.
For me, my parents are still kind of on the borderline about it. For me going to assembly, they're actually really happy, because they really want to go to Finland as well. So they're a little bit jealous, actually. They're like, oh man, you're going to Finland before us. But
why do your parents want to go to Finland?
Excellent question.
Yeah, he doesn't have an answer. You just lied, didn't you, Stubby?
No, Cody wasn't pressing down the push the talk button, man.
Yeah, okay.
There's cool stuff to do in Finland, dude. There's saunas.
Your parents wanted to travel from America to Finland because of saunas?
Who wouldn't?
It's hard
man?
To find hot rooms with steam.
Who wouldn't want to go to a sauna?
Conan, are your parents like rich philanthropists that travel the world doing things just purely because it's fun for them? Or
I don't know.
Well, at least he was exhaustive with his reasoning. So apparently while Mr. Sepster and I were grabbing food, Jonathan Jinro Walsh decided that it was time to hang up his pro gaming hat for good and retire from the pro StarCraft scene. And correct me if I'm mistaken, he actually might be the first really big profile player to retire from StarCraft 2. I wanted to get everyone's thoughts on this and whether they thought this is sort of indicative of things to come. Are we going to see a lot of the pro gamers we started StarCraft 2 with sort of fall off and decide that they're finished and they're going to move on? We'll start with Greg, we'll go to Jeff, and then we'll go to Seppi again.
Well, a ton of players already have either become irrelevant or actually retired or moved on to other things within gaming. But just usually you don't get a big news post about it because they weren't as high profile as Jinro, or they're not on a team like with Liquid that, you know, just promotes their players and makes sure that everyone knows what's going on. They don't have the fan base that requires a big announcement when they retire. So he's not the first, but maybe the first that we actually get a big discussion about, because he's the first saying that he's retiring, as it happens. He said in the article he wasn't enjoying playing anymore. He wasn't getting the results to justify playing purely as a job or as a thing he does for money. And given those circumstances, it makes perfect sense to retire. And if you're not happy doing what you're doing, and it's not really setting you up for the future anyway, why keep doing it? So it's good for him, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I've known Jinro for a long time, and he played Brood War. He kind of talked about this. He played Brood War on a Korean team, but he was mostly just a passion guy. He never made money, never really traveled, wasn't doing it to necessarily become a pro gamer. He just kind of is something he was pretty good at and something that he really liked to do to kind of, not necessarily pass the time, but it was his competitive outlet. StarCraft II, it felt like kind of just fell on him, like he took advantage of a new game opportunity and from there enjoyed a lot of success very early on. And I think that's what kind of kept him going for a while, but I don't think he ever had the passion. I mean, he's come out and said he didn't have the passion for StarCraft II that he ever did for Brood Wars. So it was always kind of a question of, will he make enough money? Will he be in the limelight enough to kind of almost falsely keep that motivation going because you just, you know, want the attention type of thing. And once that fell off, he was left, as Greg said, in a scenario where he's not really setting up for the future and he doesn't really care what he's doing, so why keep doing it? I like the way Team Liquid handled it. I like the article, and I like Jinro a lot. I think I like the words that he kind of had to share, and he hasn't really been relevant for a while, so I don't feel necessarily sad about it, and I know he's still going to moderate Team Liquid and probably play in his free time and be around, so I don't feel like we're losing anything. It's just, it's nice to have it handled professionally and officially like this so that we can all kind of deal with it our own way and see how things go from here.
Yeah, I also heard, he wasn't really having much fun with the game anymore, and if you're not having fun playing, I think it's very difficult to keep on playing and trying to be competitive and things like that. So I think it's a good thing that he's moving on, and maybe, you know, the question I'm wondering is whether or not he's going to come back for maybe Heart of the Swarm and see what he can do there.
Our good friend Gustav Lindfros wanted to know, if you had to name a most memorable game from your StarCraft II career, what would it be? And could you go into detail as to why it was so special for you? And we'll do the same order that we have been doing.
It's hard to say. The game versus MVP on Steps of War in GSL Season 3 or 4, I think, was pretty ridiculous, just because that was back when MVP was already starting to get known. He hadn't won GSL yet, but he was getting known as, if not the best Terran player, the best TBZ player. He had something like a 27-0 streak for Zergon ladder going into the match or something. And then, in theory, back then, Blistering Sands was the good ZBT map, and I lost on that in the first game. And then we played on Steps of War, which was literally impossible. Like, literally impossible. I broke the laws of the universe winning this match. Literally impossible to win on ZBT. And he even gets the 2-bunker block up on my ramp in the early game, and then I go on to beat him in a pretty good match with him anyway. So, obviously, that pales in comparison to the late games, just in general, and skill level and whatnot, but to win that was pretty cool, given those circumstances. And then moves to proxy 2-rex, close positions on the Oopolis next game. That was cool.
For me, it would probably be one of the games I had against TLO at MLG, just because we had a kind of nice little rivalry going on there, and a lot of fans were gathered around us on the second stage to watch. And there's a couple cool things, like one game I hit a pylon in his base and warped in there. Another game, he rushed me into me doing a Void Ray Bust build, and that didn't pan out very well for him. And then I force-fielded his ramp as he tried to run back home, and that's how I killed him. And then there was one game on Talon or Malter where he actually nuked my entire army but died anyways. But what made the games for me was that TLO is a cool guy and we had a robbery, but also that there's a swarm of an audience around us watching, and that was really, really fun for me. So probably one of those games.
For me, I think a lot of my most memorable games were from MLG Anaheim this year. And one in particular was definitely Game 7 against Select, obviously because it was an extended series and both of us had 3 wins each, so whoever won that match would continue on in the championship bracket. And that was a really crazy game. I remember thinking about how shocking it was because they were doing the KESPA player introductions like during our game, and it was really loud. The people were cheering, and like it was distracting, but it was such an insane game. I was literally shaking. My legs were shaking. And it was on Shakura's Plateau, so I was not that confident on a map that's so good for Terran, but ended up winning that game, so that was definitely a really memorable game for me.
Andy wanted to know, and this is sort of an interesting question because so often we talk about players on our team, but it's always kind of cool to talk about who we're rooting for outside of our organization. Andy wanted to know if you had to root for a non-EG player to win a major offline tournament, you know, of the next several offline tournaments, who would you be rooting for?
Well, I usually say Rick and stuff like this. He's just a really old friend and a player who I respect a lot. He's really good. I think he hasn't won a major yet. I think he won that Red Bull thing, but that's relatively minor in terms of like how much it's respected as a competition. So I'll just say him.
I'm kind of a, I don't know. I guess one of the guys who I think works really hard and has actually just flat out had some bad luck is like Axlev. You know, a lot of people are pretty critical about EG letting him go, and they can have their opinion about it, but the bottom line is he wasn't really a good fit for us just because at the time, he wasn't much of a guy interested in doing additional things playing StarCraft, which is part of how we justify our salaries and our position and what we do. Of course, that would later go on to be something that he's definitely willing to do, but regardless of what he's willing to do with that, he's one of the most kind, hardworking, and honest people you'll ever come into contact with in esports. He's actually, I don't think he's capable of lying. I don't think he's ever said something that he didn't actually literally mean at that time. And right after he leaves our team, he then goes on to join a house that then closes like a week later, and that was heartbreaking because the last thing any of us wanted him to do is to leave our team and then, like, have bad luck and bad times with stuff like that, but that's exactly what happened. So it'd be really cool if he would go on and win a big tournament. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, Axlev is actually definitely a player I'm rooting for as well. I think maybe the player I'm most looking forward to in the future, two of them actually, I'd say Dignitas' Johnny Recco, and Western Wolves, sort of. Those people are both really, really cool. I met them at Assembly just a few days ago. And I had known sort of online before, but both of them, I think, have been playing really amazingly lately. And it was a really fun time hanging out with them, so definitely rooting for them to do well in the future.
And if I may, I'd like to echo Jeff's sentiments. Axlev Nikranish is like one of my best friends, if you ever get the chance to talk to him about the game, it's very evident that this guy is someone who knows what he's talking about, and he's extremely helpful. He's a very diligent, hardworking young guy. So I'd like to echo Jeff's sentiments there. Moving on to the next question, Bedrocknest asked something that I think would be really cool because I imagine we're going to get three different answers from all three of our players. He wanted to know, what does it mean to be successful at a tournament? What do you consider success at a tournament? And I feel like sort of prefacing the question any more than that would be doing a disservice to Bedrockness. So, Greg, we'll start with you.
Well, it's gotten to the point where I can't realistically obviously no one can realistically expect to go into all these major tournaments and win. They're too hard now. That's something I talked about with quite a few other players. It's actually kind of depressing. Because if you go into a tournament with literally 8 Codex players, or just something along those lines, a ton of really good players, no one in the entire world, not even Tatra at this point, or you know whoever is currently the winningest, has that big of a percentage chance of winning the tournament. So it's really weird to go into that situation because you can't honestly expect to win, but then as a competitor, I feel kind of stupid if I go into a competition not expecting to win, and I feel disappointed if I lose no matter what. So I success for a tournament as winning it, but at the same time you also have to have lesser goals. You have to be okay and you have to work towards things on the way up to actually winning the tournament.
Yeah, I just borrow a lot of what Greg said. I feel like you want to go into every tournament saying to yourself that you can win it and that you're, you know, one of the people capable of it, even if it's even if you're not a Nidra, if you're like someone like me who's had a really tough time in tournaments recently, or not even recently, but lately, you still have to go into a tournament saying you can win, because otherwise you're just wasting people's money by going and saying otherwise. But for me, a successful tournament, especially with like MLG Raleigh coming up, would be making it to the championship bracket. I think that's something I'm capable of doing, and I think anything after that would be icing on the cake, but for right now, my goal is a little bit more short-sighted in the sense that I want to win some meaningful rounds, I want to beat some good players, and not bounce out early or to the first good player I play.
I mean, definitely you always want to be looking at, you know, placing really high in a tournament as a marker of success, and you always want to have high expectations for yourself in order to, you know, push yourself to actually achieve it. But I think if you can go to a tournament and, you know, turn a couple heads, make people notice you, and if you play well, you beat people who you might not necessarily have been expected to beat, I consider that a pretty decent tournament. But obviously, of course, you always want to be aiming for the best that you can do.
And this is a question I'm injecting on my own behalf. I feel like whenever you're talking about successes, it's appropriate to talk about disappointments. So while it's like sort of difficult to sort of arbitrarily conjure up like, you know, a set of circumstances that equal a disappointment, like in your StarCraft II career, what's been the biggest disappointment you've had? Whether it's like a tournament performance or like maybe a particular game that you lost that you thought you had won. We'll start with Greg.
Probably the GSL Round 8 match. That was at a time when Zerg was doing really, really poorly, and then within the match I got like close positions on Shakuris back before the, like when the rocks were still there and you could still do the push through the back door. And we got close positions on an Alapos before they put in the bunker blocks and we did the double bunker thing. It was just a hilariously idiotic match, and that was like one of the low points of my pro gaming career, because that was a really good chance to go really far in the GSL. I would have had Marine King next. I felt absolutely comfortable beating him, and Mac would have gotten to that given the current state of the game. I felt I had like a legitimate chance at the GSL season, and I felt that throughout the history of GSL up to that point, I had been good enough to deserve, you know, a final spot, if nothing else. So I really felt that that was like a wasted opportunity. And a wasted opportunity, and just an incredibly frustrating match. So that was probably one of the biggest disappointments.
For me, it was the combination WCS/MLG Anaheim, easily head and shoulders above everything else, is my most disappointing tournament. WCS, I really expected to do well, but I got kind of tilted from caliber and PvP in the first match, and then I won a few rounds, but then lost to Ruff, who's kind of a crazy off the wall strange Terran player, and I was outside top 16. It was just really, really devastatingly bad. And then Anaheim, I don't know, I was just pretty much tilted the whole weekend, so that kind of transferred over. But that was like the glorification of the worst mental game I've ever had at a tournament, and it really sucked because WCS is such an awesome program that's going on right now, and it's such a cool thing to be a part of. But I got eliminated so early on, I'm on the outside looking in now, and it just really sucks.
Yeah, one of the biggest disappointments that I can remember is actually a Brood War. I was up in the winner's finals of the WCG USA qualifiers, and I was playing Sterling, and that means I had to lose 2 best of 5s in order to not make WCG USA finals. So I ended up losing the first finals 2-3, or the first best of 5 2-3, and then the very next finals I also lost 2-3. And the last game was really, really disappointing because I actually had that game won, and I accidentally move-clicked all my army across Blue Storm and lost like everything, and then he just attacked me and killed me. So that was really sad. For StarCraft II, I'd have to say probably just my recent games against Hero. I don't know if you guys saw him, but I really, really thought I could take him. I think I played pretty poorly in games 1 and 5, though. In game 4, I made a scouting error. But I was, I really thought I could beat him. My ZVP is my most confident matchup as well, late game. And so I was happy that I was able to make it an exciting series, but I really, really wished, or I really just hoped I could have taken it. So I was pretty sad after losing that.
A gentleman named Hayden in the chat wanted to know a little bit about your training schedules, and he was curious as to how you figured out what worked best for you, and then if I could throw on a little bit of razzle-dazzle to the end of that question. What do you think is the best part of your training regimen, and what do you think you could work on in your training regimen?
Mine is very unthought out. I've always had just kind of brute force, play a ton, and keep playing. And for StarCraft 1, that worked really, really well, because everything was so mechanical. There was always stuff you could get better at just through sheer practice, just working really hard at it, and getting comfortable with the game. It worked really well. For StarCraft 2, it's more important to have experience with like different situations, and like to think about the game more so than to play it a lot. So I probably should kind of focus on that more.
I get the most out of custom games that if I play like a best of three or best of five with someone, and I'm on Skype or raid call with them, and I discuss, you know, what we can do better. That's usually when I learn the most. And the razzle dazzle was like what?
The razzle dazzle. So you answered half the razzle dazzle, right? But it's the worst part of your practice regimen. What do you think? Like, what would you improve on and be more efficient?
The worst part of my practice regimen is probably that sometimes I tend to ladder too much. Whenever you play customs with someone, you're putting yourself on the line a little bit, in the sense that if they beat you a whole bunch, you feel really bad, whereas if you lose a single game in the ladder, you can just get the queue up again and play someone else. So it's a lot less emotional and investing, I guess is the way to put it, but usually around a tournament, that's when I buckle down and do the customs anyways, but I still sprinkle in customs even far away from a tournament. It's just not as much as I should.
For me, I don't really have a set training regimen per se, especially with school and, you know, the amount of work I have to do for that sometimes can vary from day to day. But I found that just a combination of ladder and custom games is really helpful. And recently, I've actually been doing a lot more customs, trying to reach out and, you know, make friends with people after playing with them on a ladder match, and then adding them and then starting to practice with them in custom games. I think it's really helpful to have a lot of people on your friends list at all times that you can just call for a game. And I think that's been helping me improve a lot because, you know, it's just really helpful when you can talk to people about the games. You can talk about their opinions on things. Like, I have a lot of Zerg practice partners now, and I ask them, you know, what their opinion is on ZVT, ZVP, ZVZ, what builds they do. So, yeah, I think it's just a skill level player to get, like, a network of players that they can practice with and talk to the game about.
So we're going to be heading into the last question of the evening, and this one came to me via Twitter. And I was asked, when was the last time that's like, what was the last moment that really sticks out to you that StarCraft II made you genuinely happy? It could be a personal win, or maybe it's a big you know, you saw a teammate succeed, or it's something you saw in the community. And we got 6 minutes left, so I encourage you guys to take your time with this.
I don't know, because like I said in the earlier question, I don't really consider a tournament a success if I don't win the tournament. Like MLG Orlando, I've said that's one of my best runs ever and whatnot, but after losing to MC, I was so depressed I just kind of went off and stayed in my hotel room for the night. Like, I really take losses terribly, so if a tournament doesn't end without a loss, it's hard for me to really be happy about it. And the tournaments that I have won, like IEM and Aces, MLG DC, they didn't at the time really feel like accomplishments to me relative to the level I wanted to be at. Like, IEM beating Puma was awesome, but then it was kind of overshadowed by just playing Elfie in the finals. It didn't feel like what I was capable of. Aces and MLGDC were 4-0 in the tournaments. So, I don't know. Most of my fun in StarCraft 2 is linked to success, linked to satisfaction with my success, and I haven't had anything that I really consider particularly successful. So I wouldn't say anything in StarCraft 2 has been all that happy. In StarCraft 1, it was winning ESWC, I guess, as my first major LAN thing. I'd say that was my happiest moment, yeah.
The question is, what's your happiest moment?
Yes.
Okay. Brood War was obviously winning WCG 2007 for USA. I was one of two Zergs at the tournament or something like that, and I had kind of a dream tournament. It's one of those times where you can kind of hit the zone and you get lucky the few times you need to, but you're just playing exactly right. I've only had that happen to me once. Pretty happy that I had it happen at all, though. I experienced a great ride because of it, and I think I can attribute like 99% of everything StarCraft related for me to that. I then go on to be on a show. I get invited to these other invitationals that I would go on to win, and that's what kind of propelled me to become a professional gamer at all. I think otherwise I'd just be a boring old English teacher or something like that. For StarCraft II, my happiest moments, I don't know that they would actually be competitive because I've been mostly having a tough time. I mean, I've had a few small accomplishments and definitely been a part of, you know, nice team results or whatever and done well in practice and that kind of thing, but no one of those moments is like something I would ever look back on and be like, oh, wow, that was, you know, that's my happiest moment. So I would say being there when Thorzane won Stockholm was one of my happiest moments just because even though he wasn't on the team yet, I loved and respected the guy, and the excitement and joy that he was having was palpable. The excitement and joy the entire audience was having was palpable. I mean, everything about it was really magical, and even just being a host was actually enough for me call that one of my happiest and most fond memories just because you don't get to always see something like that and be a part of it. I mean, outside of that, I don't know, I'm living with my best friends and my fiance in a beautiful, wonderful house in Arizona, and I get to work on StarCraft all day, and that's my job, so it's not a moment in time, but I just consider myself very lucky to be doing what I'm doing, and it's all because of StarCraft and because of the fine folks that make that possible for me.
I guess for me, I might have a little bit of difficulty answering this question, just because I feel like a lot of little things make me happy, but I can't really recall some times that are extremely, you know, just like really, really memorable. Maybe MLG Anaheim, but I feel like I'm able to have a lot of happy moments pretty much, like even when I'm just laughing. I'm good, and I get really excited. And I think, you know, it's really good to. I mean, it's just there's a lot. I don't know how to say this actually, but for example, when I was watching, you know, my teammates play at Assembly, I was just really excited when they won. Same thing for Sort of. I was really rooting for him, and was really happy when I watched that. Just meeting people in StarCraft, I think, is something that makes me really happy. And getting to know people, making friends with people, I think it's something that's really rare. That, you know, I get a chance to travel around the world, go to Europe, and meet all these really cool people. And that was definitely like a huge blast for me. I had a ton of, I was really happy, just to be able to go there. And also, just being able to play this game and, you know, I don't know. I just have a lot of times where I'm grateful that I'm able to play and have fun with this game. And I'd have to say the gameplay of this game is not as fun as Brood War, just all the little things, meeting people, playing with friends, beating people, you know.
So we're at the CSL house in Berkeley. So there's a little bit of a laughter, a little bit of a couple of ha-has from the peanut gallery. So anyway, because we were criticized for wrapping up things early, we're going to do one quick off-topic question. Go and ask your non-StarCraft related questions here in the EG chat, and we'll do them. One last one. Make it so. Give it your all. Go, go, go. Someone just posted some code. Ice cream. Okay, no, we got this. All right, easy peasy. Favorite place you've traveled to? That one's such a good question. You guys are all globetrotters. So favorite place you've traveled to?
Oh, no way.
Paris was awesome, but that was mainly because of the food. I went to some nice restaurants. I really liked food. It was really, really good. It was cool. I think Amsterdam is probably the favorite place I've been, and that was largely because that was just purely a vacation. There was no tournament there. Me and Bryson, me and the Muslim and Machine went and hung out with Rhett for a week there after one of the tournaments, and just had a really good time. It's awesome. Like that. Beautiful city.
For me, it was Korea, and I've been a few times, but my favorite time was the first time I went for IESF. ISF? Some Brood War tournament? Okay, it was that. And we actually didn't get to see Greg very much because Greg was in the Estro house at the time, so that was sad. Or maybe CJ. I think you're actually in CJ house.
Yeah.
And, but Bryce, myself, and pretty much all the usual suspects from Brood War got to hang out with White Raw, Rec Rule, real old school name if anybody knows that. But Rec Rule treated us like a king. He got us these nice hotel rooms in a really expensive hotel just to show us the city. We went to all different kinds of food places. We hookah in this place called the Rainbow Bar that was amazing and weird at the same time. Went to a booking club and experienced that, which is just so different from anything else you'd experience outside of Korea. And at the tournament itself, I had a good time. We did, like, bet games, and I made $200 or something ridiculous off of, like, $10 bet games there. And it was the first time I'd been introduced to Korea, and Korea for any StarCraft player is absolutely magical. And my fire and passion for Korea and StarCraft in general was really toked and burning there. It was just amazing.
I really enjoyed, my family took a trip to New Zealand and Australia, and that was a really, really great trip.
For the songs, right?
What? Yeah, we had a lot of fun times in the saunas. That's basically all we did. Also, the time we swam with dolphins in saunas in Cancun, we went to Mexico. That was also a lot of fun. I'd say the most fun I've ever had is probably in New Zealand and Australia, though. I really like those countries. They're really peaceful. And I probably will move there when I retire, when I'm like 70.
You heard it first. Suppy's playing StarCraft until he's 70. Anyway, I'd really like to thank you guys for tuning in for another Evil Geniuses Raid Call Q&A. I personally apologize. I pushed the envelope quite a bit with our dinner schedule. So don't blame the Subster. Subster would never do his fans dirty like this. So anyway, keep your eyes peeled for more Evil Geniuses Raid Call Q&As. Check out our Twitter. You can find us at twitter.com/evilgeniuses. Thank you for supporting Evil Geniuses Raid Call. We appreciate it tremendously. And be sure to watch our streams. I'm sure some of us will be streaming practice in a little bit. I hope you have a fantastic Monday night or Tuesday morning, depending on what side of the globe you're on. And thanks. See you.